Chapter 33. An invisibility spell, part of Emily's mind yammered. They were waiting in ambush for you. She couldn't move a single voluntary muscle. She didn't even know how she was breathing. If someone could be turned into stone for an hour, perhaps there was a spell to hold the body in stasis while the mind thought desperately, looking for a way out of the trap. Beside her, she heard Alassa yelp in shock as three figures appeared out of nowhere, advancing towards her with their hands raised. She couldn't see or hear Emeka at all. "Well, well, well," the lead figure said. She was a girl with long red hair and a face that would have been stunningly pretty if it hadn't been twisted into a sneer. "Did you think, princess, that you were safe without your gaggle of cronies?" Emily saw Alassa move out of the corner of her eye as the princess lifted her wand. There was a sudden sense of magic, and the wand was yanked right out of the princess's hand. It flew through the air to be caught by the newcomer, who glanced at it and stuck it in her robe. Her two companions, a dark-skinned girl and a girl who looked vaguely Asian, grinned as they spread out, both of them staring at Alassa. Emily struggled mentally, but her entire body was as stiff and unmoving as a rock. Unlike Alassa's spells, the newcomer's spells were too strong to easily overcome. "Melissa," Alassa said. She sounded confident, but Emily could hear the fear in her voice, and knew Melissa could probably hear it too. "You don't have to hurt my friends. You don't have to hurt my friends either," Melissa snapped. "What were you thinking when you turned Hast into a frog? Or when your cronies cast five different spells on me and walked away, leaving me trying desperately to get them off?" Emily would have rolled her eyes if she had been able to move. Of course she wouldn't have been the only person Alassa had tried to pick on before she'd been almost killed and then kidnapped. Melissa sounded as if she wanted revenge. Naturally, Alassa's old cronies would have been very good at protecting their leader's back, even if Alassa couldn't do spells for herself. But Emily hadn't seen any of them since Alassa's near-death experience. "It was pointed out to me that I acted poorly," Alassa said stiffly. Emily could just imagine the lectures she would have had from Mistress Kyla, let alone the warden and the Grand Master. A royal princess had no business risking her life by bullying students who weren't properly respectful. "And I am sorry for what I did to you." "You're sorry?" Melissa asked. She lifted one hand, shaping it into a claw. "You don't know the meaning of the word." She was posturing, Emily realized, believing it to be perfectly safe. Sergeant Harkin had made it clear that those who took time to show off on the battlefield ended up dead very quickly, as their enemy snapped off killing spells while they were showing off. But Alassa had been working with Emily ever since they'd been jammed together in basic charms, and she knew more about casting spells without a wand than Melissa would believe. Maybe she could take out all three of the girls before it was too late. Alassa raised a hand and snapped off a charm towards Melissa. Melissa looked bored as the charm slammed into her protections and was harmlessly deflected towards the ceiling. A moment later, she tossed a spell back at Alassa, striking the princess directly in the chest. Alassa shrank rapidly. Her robe fell to the ground and covered her as she vanished from Emily's sight. Emily heard something scratching just before an oversized rat came into view. That had to be Alassa. "Have fun countering that spell," Melissa said. "I put some real teeth into its structure." She looked at Emily as if she were thinking about casting a second spell on her, but instead walked away. Her two friends followed. Emily helplessly watched her go as cold anger burned through her mind. She hated being helpless at the best of times. Being frozen reminded her far too much of being Shade's captive. The magic which bound her and held her firmly in place seemed solid. She struggled to cast a dispelling charm and escape, but the magic seemed disinclined to work properly. The rat squeaked, reminding Emily that it could have been worse. It honestly hadn't occurred to her that Alassa could be ambushed at any moment, an oversight that had left all three of them thoroughly humiliated. She made a mental note to see if there were spells that could give her a magical spider sense, or at least some early warning when someone was creeping up on her or lying in ambush. Sergeant Harkin would probably disapprove. He'd tested their natural abilities, not their magically enhanced powers, but she had a feeling she was going to need it. That was the second time she'd been caught by surprise. Time seemed to slow down until she felt the spell slowly begin to unlock. Her entire body went wobbly just before she crashed to the stone floor like a sack of potatoes. A second later, she heard a gasp of pain as a Mecha hit the deck behind her. But Alessa, it seemed, was still a rat. Emily somehow managed to roll over and look at a Mecha, who looked on the verge of tears. She wanted to comfort her friend, both of her friends, but it was so hard to move. Her body felt completely drained. Chocolate, she thought, as she reached into her pouch. She'd made a habit of carrying a bar ever since experimenting with the Berserker spell. Slowly, she managed to swallow a couple of chunks, then she passed the rest to Emeka. The chocolate gave her enough energy to stagger to her feet and look down at Alessa, who was still a rat. Melissa probably hadn't intended the spell to be removed easily, if at all. Alessa looked up, her nose twitching in a manner that would have been comical if it hadn't been so serious, and waved her paws in the air. It was easy to understand what she wanted. "I'll try," Emily said. "I just don't have much energy." She cast a single dispelling charm in the air and watched, unsurprised, as it failed to return Alessa to human form. It figured that Melissa had thought of that simple countermeasure and ensured her spell was designed to resist it. Next, Emily cast the analysis spell and watched as Melissa's transfiguration spell appeared in front of her face. It looked to be a simple copy of a spell she'd seen in the Book of Practical Jokes. Again, it struck Emily that no one sane could regard a forced transformation as a practical joke, but Melissa had added a nasty component to make it harder to remove.
"We'll have to cast the charm together," Emeka said.
Her other friend looked completely exhausted, but her eyes were bright.
"That particular twist can be beaten because it can only react to one charm at a time. On three, one, two, three."
The dispelling charm worked perfectly the second time around. Alessa's form twisted uncomfortably, then returned to human, leaving her crawling on the floor. Emily looked away as Alessa grabbed a robe and pulled it over her head, muttering words in a language that her translation spell declined to adapt properly. Or maybe it was a perfect translation. Most insulting remarks from foreign countries and mindsets didn't seem so insulting when translated into plain English.
"I'm sorry," Alessa said after another minute.
Her voice was muffled as she tried to pull her undershirt on after donning the robe, rather than the other way round.
"I didn't think."
Emily wasn't too surprised. Before she'd arrived at Whitehall, Alessa had her reputation, her family, and a gang of cronies who did her bidding, even though she wasn't a strong magician in her own right. No doubt the cronies had the magic skills to keep Alessa from having a knife shoved in her back by one of her victims. But now, what had happened to the cronies anyway? Had they been sent home in disgrace?
"They don't want to be with me anymore,"
Alessa admitted when Emily asked.
"Their parents said I was dangerous."
Emily leaned against the wall and took a long breath. "What did you do to Melissa?" Alessa didn't answer for a long moment.
"She was irritating me. I cast a jinx on her that ensured that she would say the wrong thing at the wrong time. She called a tutor a nasty name and ended up being sent to the Hall of Shame."
"Oh," Emily said. It was hard to blame Melissa for wanting to strike back, and yet Emily was still very angry. How in all the universe had Melissa blamed Emily for what Alessa had done before she'd even arrived in this world? It struck her a moment later. Emily had shocked Alessa, befriended her, and then started to teach her how to cast spells properly. Melissa probably suspected that Alessa would become even more of a terror once she knew what she was actually doing. "What were you thinking?"
"I was a fool," Alessa said bleakly.
She looked up, her bright eyes blazing with anger.
"We have to strike back."
Emily hesitated. The mature and responsible part of her mind pointed out that Melissa had a good reason to be angry with Alessa, and perhaps now that she'd had her fun, it wouldn't happen again. But the part of her mind that had been a target of bullying knew that it wouldn't end so easily. Children who were bullied often became bullies themselves, because it was the only way they knew how to take care of themselves. Melissa and her two friends might start casting charms and hexes on Emily and her friends at every opportunity. And she'd been rendered helpless,
forced to watch as Alassa was transfigured, then wait for what felt like hours before the spell had finally worn off. She was angry at Melissa, just as she'd been angry at Alassa when she'd hexed Emily. And poor Emeka hadn't done anything to deserve being frozen in place either. And Emily was unused to having friends. What would happen if she said no? Emeka spoke into the silence. "But Melissa's a skilled spellcaster," she said weakly. "We can't just walk up to her and start casting spells." "No," Alassa agreed. She bitterly looked down at her hands. "Maybe we should play a joke on her." Emily winced at her tone. The royal princess had never had to face an equal, much less a superior, opponent before, unless one counted the kidnappers, and Alassa had beaten one of them halfway to death. She might be a stubborn girl, unwilling to use her intelligence when her status would do, but she didn't give up. "I think we should go back to my bedroom and sort ourselves out," Emily said. They'd missed tea while frozen, but the kitchens produced late meals for some of the students, as well as emergency food for those who overstrained themselves. "And then we can decide what to do." There was no sign of Aloha when they entered her bedroom, so Emily picked up the books on practical jokes while Alassa first undressed, and in private, then dressed again, properly. There were thousands of different charms they could use for amusement, but most of them would be easy for someone like Melissa to detect and remove before it was too late. Emily hadn't seen Melissa at all before now, which meant that she had definitely tested out the basic classes and gone on to prepare herself for her second year. She was certainly more competent with charms and hexes than Emily. "We could just turn her into something unpleasant," Alassa said as she finished dressing. "A spider, perhaps, or a crab, or..." Emily shuddered. The people of this world might regard forced transformations as a harmless prank, but it wasn't an attitude she shared. Maybe she would have felt differently if she'd grown up in a world where magic existed. Besides, she'd come alarmingly close to killing Alassa through merging a transfiguration spell with another charm. The results could have been disastrous. "Or we could hit her with the idiot ball," Emeka offered. "That would give her a nasty fright." "I don't know how to cast it," Alassa admitted. The distance between she and Emeka seemed to have faded away through shared adversity. "Do you?" Emily frowned. "The idiot ball?" "It's a spell that dampens the target's intelligence," Alassa explained. She smirked. "I admit that it is sometimes easy to believe that the boys here have been struck by the idiot ball. You can't just cast it on someone, because all of their basic protections will ward them against it," Emeka added. "You have to stick it on something and then slip it into their presence, perhaps by dropping it into their robes, and then it starts affecting them at once. A simple sum like 2 plus 2 becomes impossible." Emily hesitated. All of the practical jokes she'd seen involving mind manipulation had been very limited, because even this world admitted that mind manipulation wasn't funny. A post-hypnotic suggestion could cause some amusement, but it could also cause disaster. The idiot ball might even cause worse problems. "Or there's the gender key," Alassa suggested. "Do you think she'd enjoy waking up to discover that she's a boy?" "That would get us all in very hot water," Emeka reminded her. Emily stared at them both blankly. "Someone introduced a gender-swapping spell into Whitehall 2 years ago, or so I was told. The results were absolute chaos. Eventually, the spell was banned, and we were warned that if we used it, we would be sent to face the warden." Emily shook her head in disbelief. She had grown accustomed to her new world, a process made easier by the fact that there was nothing and no one back in her old world who she wanted to see again. And yet there were times when the sheer strangeness of the new world came up and slapped her right across the face. A spell to turn someone into an idiot, a spell to turn a girl into a boy, or vice versa. Or, for that matter, a school that allowed its children to carry lethal weapons everywhere. Because that was what magic was, a lethal weapon. If Alassa had been dangerous with only a few spells, how dangerous would a combat sorcerer be to his enemies? "A good thing, too," Emily said, remembering the boys from her old school. They'd been jerks, every single one of them, particularly after they'd discovered that girls weren't just oddly shaped men. The mere flash of a smile from one of the popular girls turned them into drooling zombies. Boys were dirty and smelly and gross, and there was no way that she would want to be one. But then some of the girls hadn't been so clever either. There was more to life than counting the number of guys who would do something stupid if you batted your eyelashes at them, or trying to make yourself popular by dating the most popular guy in the school. A thought struck her as she looked over at Alassa. If your parents wanted a boy, she said, why didn't they just use magic to alter your sex? Alassa gaped at her and then swallowed. Wherever you come from has to be a very long way away. Don't you know that such magic doesn't always work properly? It doesn't always alter the mind, Emeka added. You could end up with a boy in a girl's body if you weren't careful. And if you messed around with their mind, Alassa said, you might make a bad situation much worse. Emily nodded in understanding. Most transfiguration spells were configured to avoid causing mental damage, because the long-term effects of mind manipulation could be dangerously unpredictable. In this case, if a girl became a boy, she'd still think of herself as a girl on the inside, presumably also being attracted to other boys. Her lips twitched. It was quite possible that he would become homosexual, at least by the strict definition of the term, and vice versa for a boy who became a girl. Actually, if the boys back home could have been put into female bodies for a few days, it might teach them a very valuable lesson. They'd picked on weaker boys they'd accused of being homosexual, even though Emily had known that those weaker boys lusted after girls, too. They'd picked on everyone who had seemed weaker than they. She had no idea what this world thought of homosexuality, but it would likely be disastrous for a monarchy. She had no idea how Alassa's kingdom, in particular, would react to a homosexual monarch, particularly if they didn't know that he'd originally been female. But at the very least, it would call his or her ability to continue the succession into question. And what if he literally couldn't have children, even with a woman who had been born a woman? The line of succession would be destroyed. Or if... Her imagination produced too many possibilities, none of them good. If we hit her with the idiot ball, Alassa said finally, how do we get it into her possession? She is a little paranoid about locking her door. With reason, Emily pointed out. She wasn't sure if she wanted to go ahead with it, but Melissa did need a lesson in picking on the wrong person. Maybe we should just throw a hex at her when her back is turned. Emeka giggled. I know how we can hex her, she said. Emily and Alassa both stared at her in surprise. Her clothes will be drying off in the laundry after being washed. All we have to do is hex her undershirt, then wait for her to put it on. Very good, Alassa said. She rubbed her hands together with glee. Tomorrow, we strike.